glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
He is risen. He is risen indeed. Hi, listening friend. Welcome to the Monday edition of Mark and Friends. It's April 6, 2015. Keeping the Easter celebration going. Today and tomorrow, I'll be featuring another Moody special called Risen Indeed, which will be hosted by Charlie Dyer and John Gager for the Moody Broadcasting Network. And their special guests will be Johnny Diaz, Ernie Haas, Charlie Daniels, and Mark Hall. I hope you were super blessed by your Resurrection Sunday service yesterday, and may today and tomorrow's broadcast keep that truth alive in your heart that Christ lives and will return again. Here's John Gager with a 55-minute Moody special that I'll break into today and tomorrow's edition of Mark and Friends.
Everybody loves a celebration, and followers of Jesus have the ultimate reason for the ultimate celebration. Hi, I'm John Gager, welcoming you to Risen Indeed, an hour-long Easter special from Moody Radio and the team that brings you the land and the book. That, of course, would include our host, Dr. Charlie Dyer.
Thank you, John. We have a great hour in front of us. We have Johnny Diaz, Ernie Haas, country legend Charlie Daniels, and Mark Hall of Casting Crowns.
All of these four great music artists are helping us celebrate the fact that Jesus is risen. He is risen indeed.
Johnny Diaz is an American contemporary Christian pop artist from Lakeland, Florida. His song, More Beautiful You, charted on American Christian music charts. Though he's toured with well-known groups like Mercy Me, Matthew West, Diaz feels he finds the best opportunities to truly connect with people in smaller venues.
But Charlie and I have a very special reason for inviting Johnny Diaz on the program today, and that's because he's traveled to the Holy Land and felt its impact not just on his soul, but on his singing.
I want to start by saying thanks, Johnny, for taking time out of your concert schedule to join us.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me on.
Now, for listeners who are newer to your music, how would you describe your sound, your philosophy of music?
Well, I'm a singer-songwriter. I play guitar, and so you can kind of tell that that's how I write most of my songs, is on the acoustic guitar. But the philosophy behind it, I kind of have a mission statement with my writing. It's three things, really. It's to entertain, to encourage, and to challenge the body of Christ. Most of my audience, whether it's through radio or in concerts, already in the church. And so I hope to do those things to encourage and challenge the church through my music.
You know, Johnny, you've traveled to the Holy Land. How many times have you gone, and what is it that brought you there?
I have been to the Holy Land twice now. As a 16-year-old, I got to travel over with my father. My father, Ed Diaz, actually takes a small group to Israel almost every year. And he is what I would call the biblical tour guide. They have the local tour guide that kind of guides you around the geography. And then my dad's job is to take all these sites, all these places you see, and relate them to Scripture. And almost, he gives almost like a mini sermon in each place that you go to. This is where it's found in Scripture. This is why it's important. This is what has happened over the years to this historical place. So I got to go when I was 16 with him, and then I also got to go a couple years ago with my wife. He took a group of pastors over there, a small group, and invited me to come along and lead worship for these pastors. And so we got to sing some praise and worship songs in the sites where, you know, that actually inspired those lyrics. It was a really amazing trip.
Yeah, what were some of your first impressions? Going as a 16-year-old, what stuck in your mind on that trip?
Well, my dad always says that your first trip to Israel is kind of like trying to take a sip from a fire hose. And that's exactly how I felt when I went over there. There's just so much to see, so much to experience. But my dad's challenge was to just take a few of the locations, really just take those spots in, you know, take pictures, take mental notes, take physical notes, and try not to get every little detail, but just let some of these bigger places just kind of wash over me. You know, I remember being on the Sea of Galilee in a boat that was very similar to what Jesus would have been on. And just letting that actually kind of wash over you, the reality of the fact that that's where Jesus actually stood, was just an amazing thing.
Johnny Diaz is a singer and songwriter and joins us today on the program, and it's neat to hear his reflections about traveling to Israel.
How did your travel there impact the way you've written songs and performed them since those trips?
Well, to me, there's just a almost legitimacy. I'm a very analytical person. My wife has the ability to take something at face value and just believe it with full abandonment, and I admire that about her. But I'm not that way. I'm the prove it to me, show it to me kind of person. And so through my reading scripture, through my study of God's word, my trip over there has just solidified so many things in my belief. And that has really translated over into my songwriting. I think there's a conviction there when you're truly believing because you have seen, and I think the audiences feel that as well.
We're talking with Johnny Diaz, singer and songwriter today. And, you know, Johnny, when Charlie Dyer leads a tour to Israel, you always visit the Sea of Galilee, of course. But when you come up out of the Sea of Galilee, having spent there a few days and he's taking you on to the next place, he always has us look off to the horizon where we see these very sharp hills. And he takes us to Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? Well, suddenly when you look at those places, those sheer cliffs, and the difficulty of travel back then, it makes that take on a whole new perspective. Now, my question to you is, you've been there twice to the Holy Land. How do you read Scripture differently today? Any passages that now kind of jump into 3D for you, and how has that changed since your visit to Israel?
Yeah, well, the church I go to in Nashville, Tennessee, we're currently studying through the book of Luke, and we're nearing the end of the book, and we're closing in on the crucifixion and ultimately the resurrection of Christ. And as we read through these scriptures, we only go through really a couple passages every Sunday, but as we read through these scriptures, to be able to go back mentally and see these places in my mind,
right?
You know, where Christ was mocked and the streets that he walked and where they led him down to the place of the skull and everything. Just to see these places in my mind and be able to have the geography in my mind of what that really looked like, goodness, it just brings a whole new life to reading those scriptures that, you know, honestly, I've read since I was little. But now that I've been to Israel a couple times, it just no longer requires the imagination. It just requires me actually saying, hey, I've been there. I believe this. I've seen it.
You recorded the song Beauty of the Cross and made the observation, the great irony and beauty here is that we're singing about one of the most awful torture devices ever conceived by man, and yet we are calling it beautiful. That thought had to have taken on even more depth as you traveled through Jerusalem. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, the song Beauty of the Cross is ultimately a worship song. And so to be in those places, you know, the Garden of Gethsemane, where some of those olive trees actually date up to 2,000 years old, and realize that that very same tree could have been there when Jesus was in the garden. And then to sing these words, the beauty of the cross is that there's one who's redeemed my soul. The beauty of the cross is that I'm finally free and letting go. Those words just kind of come to life when you're able to visualize those things in that way. And I will never sing that song the same way, having seen those locations.
At the cross I find the beauty of your matchless grace. At the cross I see a king who died to take my place. It's the moment that you made me clean and pardoned my soul. Jesus, beneath the beauty of the cross, is that there's one who has redeemed. words that I may boast or I become. Slip lift through the sun, the sinless and exalted one. Only through the cross that I may cling to, drawn into you. Say so that you would receive all glory to your name. The everlasting God, from age to age, you never change. That true love story remains for all eternity.
Johnny Diaz on Risen Indeed, an Easter special from this station and the team at Moody Radio. Up ahead, insights on what it really means to be born again from country legend Charlie Daniels. Then later on, it's Mark Hall, lead singer of Casting Crowns, as he joins us for Risen Indeed.
Ernie Haas is the founder and leader of Ernie Haas and Signature Sound, a gospel quartet that's been redefining quartet music with their trailblazing originality. Ernie's roots are planted deep in Southern gospel music, and he was a longtime member of the famous Cathedral Quartet. In forming Ernie Haas and Signature Sound, he gathered a group of like-minded men who shared his love for God, great harmonies, and time-honored songs and energetic performances.
If you listen to any Southern gospel music at all, you cannot avoid, nor should you, the sound of Ernie Haas and Signature Sound. Ernie joins us today. Thanks for being a part of the program.
Hey, fellas. How are you doing today?
Doing great.
Ernie, we're doing great, and we're so thankful you're here. Yeah, there have been many great gospel quartets over the years. Two of the best, at least in my opinion, have been the Cathedrals and Ernie Haas and Signature Sound. What helped make the two groups so successful and so popular?
My mentor, which is the co-founder of the Cathedrals and ultimately became my father-in-law, George Yonts, he was a bass vocalist for the Cathedrals, and he'd always said, Ernie, listen, all you got going for you is those 2 hours with those sweet people. You better get out there and sing as though it's your last time and make it special for them and make sure that, you know, you want to make them laugh and you also want to be able to lift them to heavenly places. Life's hard, so make sure that you make them forget all the things that are going on and just show them the Lord and show them the love of the Lord. And above all else, make sure your art is as good as it can possibly be. I mean, he started back in the early 1950s doing exactly that. He passed that on to me, that ethic, and it has served me well.
You've traveled to Israel with the Gaithers for that homecoming event they held there. Was that your first trip to Israel?
It was. It was. And that was an eye-opening experience because, you know, all these years I've been singing, 25 years I've been doing this in a full-time occupational capacity, and to be able to sing the songs at the sites where it all happened. To this day, it comes alive in my mind when I sing on stage.
Yeah. I know that was probably one of the most whirlwind travel experiences. Did you get to see a lot of Israel during that time, or were you kept busy just with the performance there in Jerusalem?
Mostly the performance, but we visited the main sites. and got to sing Because He Lives at the tomb. And it was just all those kind of things, you know, the Master of the Sea at the Sea of Galilee. And I'm like, like I said, you know, George used to say to me, and I could hear him behind me as I was singing, when I start singing a solo, he goes, paint a picture, son, paint the picture, meaning with your words, and see it in your mind. And now some of these songs that I've sung forever, my signature song is called Oh, What a Savior. And in my mind, I can remember standing at Golgotha and singing Oh, What a Savior. And it just makes these songs come alive.
Yeah. We're talking with Ernie Haas, who has founded the Gospel Quartet, you know, as Signature Sound. Ernie, you know, I've not been to Israel like Charlie Dyer has, but, you know, we all have expectations when we go, right? I bet you had some expectations. My question is, what was different for you that you thought it might have been? What was bigger, smaller, wider, deeper, more serious, more light? What was different for you in your expectations when you went first to Israel?
I think because I have traveled the world, I think the fact that it hasn't been touched by the Western culture as much as other places have been. You know, there's still, you know, there's not a McDonald's in every corner. And then the fact that there are, you know, two definite cultures that are at war and have been at war with each other, and you can sense, you know, they live with it every day. Maybe they don't sense it, but, you know, from an outsider never being there, I just sense that there was strife, you know, between the Jewish people and the Arabs that are there. And I definitely sensed it. I saw it. And then just the fact that you look at and you see, you know, armed guards on street corners with AK-47s, I didn't feel unsafe, but that's just something that you don't see everywhere you go. So that's something that kind of took me back a little bit.
They don't have that in Stowe, Ohio? That's
at your favorite Italian restaurant?
Not yet.
Yeah. Isn't that one of those amazing things when you're there and you just go, you know, I feel safe, and yet there are lots of guns around. It's just a different perspective on life than we're used to here in America, isn't it?
They've learned to exist that way, you know. So,
yeah.
You know, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and we also know that one day the Prince of Peace is going to come. And that did keep crossing my mind. I'm like, you know, this beautiful biblical city doesn't know peace. And you can see why Jesus wept over the city, you know. And look how far, even, you know, in the last 2,000 years, how far it's continued to be filled with strife. And so, you know, we keep singing these songs because that's our hope. We know that one day New Jerusalem and all that stuff is going to be a reality.
You know, I kept wondering that one of my favorite medleys from that the album that was done is you sang This Could Be the Dawning and Until Then.
Yes.
I kept wondering in my mind as I listened to that, you know, what was going through your mind? Did you think, you know, maybe this is the day? You know, what a day it would have been to just sing your way right then into the presence of Jesus. Mm.
That would have been the ultimate. I mean, what a way to go.
Yeah.
I mean, and then how fitting would it be for Gator to catch it on video?
The last, the ultimate homecoming DVD.
The final homecoming. You can get this for, like, nobody's here to buy it.
You know, as you mentioned, you sang at the Garden Tomb, which was incredible. What were your thoughts as you walked through that garden and stepped into that empty tomb and just had that experience there?
I just kept saying, thank you, Lord. I mean, I read the Gospels all the time and commentaries, you know, we call ourselves Christians, but I think sometimes that phrase has become very desensitized and watered down. We are followers of Christ. And so to know that our Lord and our Master, the only one worthy to have his feet washed, came and lived a humble life and washed other people's feet and was obedient unto death, but death didn't have the power over him, and to see the empty tomb and to know that we serve and live for a risen Savior, I just kept saying, thank you, Lord. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, what a Savior, which is my signature song. And I, you know, I could tell you this, fast forward, as a songwriter, you always look for inspiration. But that particular day, you were so overwhelmed with it. You were like turning your business mind off. You know, you were just in the moment. But as I got back home and I got in a writing session with a couple friends of mine, I said, you know, I've never written a song about the cross of my Savior, even though I've sang about that topic many, many times. And I think it's because of insecurity. As a writer, I'm thinking there's so many great songs by the Gaithers. But, you know, you read through the hymn book and you see all these great songs. What could I possibly add to that songbook and that catalog? But the old saying is writers have to write. So I took that experience. We talked about that experience there in Jerusalem. And then we wrote a song called Love Carried the Cross. Everything was motivated by Christ, by his love of the Father and for his creation. And so after that wonderful experience, we wrote a song that seems to have fallen on some wonderful ears. And in fact, it's been put into some Christmas cantatas and printed form. So, you know, there was the inspiration, and having been there and having been around that situation and seeing it firsthand, like I said before, writers got to write. So I'm just thankful that I had that outlet, that I'm able to be creative like that with some good friends and to be able to maybe draw a picture with our words and our music to other people who have not yet experienced a Jerusalem experience.
Just lost their dearest friend. All that they said, now he was dead. So this was the way it would end. The dreams they had dreamed were not what they'd seen. Now he was dead and gone. The garden, the jail, the hammer, the nail. How could a night be so star, the kings from afar, wedding the water, the wine. Now it was done, they'd taken her son, wasted before his time. She knew it was true. She watched him die too. She'd heard them call him just a man. Oh, but deep in her heart, she knew from the start. The storm was
And that was Ernie Haas, one of the well-played favorites on my iPhone. Thanks for listening to us today on Risen Indeed, a special from Moody Radio. And if Southern Gospel isn't your thing, stay tuned later for Mark Hall of Casting Crowns. But first,
he's a household name in the world of country music. He's a singer, guitarist, and fiddler, raised on a musical diet that included gospel, bluegrass, rhythm and blues, and, of course, country music. He's also born again and not ashamed of it. He's country legend Charlie Daniels, who joins us now as our Easter special unfolds.
And, of course, you probably know Charlie Daniels' music, but did you know he's been to Israel several times? Well, there's so much we could talk about, but, Charlie, we want to start out with a warm Southern shalom, y'all, to you.
Well, shalom to y'all. That's pretty Southern. Shalom to y'all.
all my years in the South, I found it good, and of course, for plural, all y'all. But
it's
good having you with us, Charlie. Despite the fact you're pretty bold about your faith, I could hear some listeners saying, I didn't realize Charlie Daniels was born again. I understand your journey was a gradual one. Could you share how you came to faith?
Well, it's been, I didn't have a Damascus Road experience. I was born into and raised in a Christian faith with my family, and I didn't. To be perfectly honest with you about it, it took me a lot. All my life, I'd heard Jesus died for you, but it took me a long time to understand the implication of what that was and why He did and what it meant. Mm-hmm. And that is what, in my book, is what knowing that and accepting that is what being born again is. Some people have an immediate experience when they come to the Lord. Some of us, more hard-headed people, it takes a little while, and it takes a little bit of learning and understanding the depth of God's love, the depth of what the blood of Jesus can cover and what it means, and that we cannot do anything to ever deserve it, that no matter how good we try to be, that we can never, ever deserve what God did for us when He allowed His Son to die on the cross, and that we accept it. That's where the faith comes in. We can't see it, but we accept it, and we know that it's real. And I know this is real, and I know that my only hope in the world's only hope of salvation is Jesus Christ. Mm. And that is by accepting the fact that you are a sinner. You can't, if you don't reach a stage to where you said, my life is goofed up, my life is messed up, I am wrong, I realize it, I want to do the right thing. And that don't mean you're going to just automatically quit everything that you're doing. There may be habits you have and things that may have to be worked out. But it means, to me, this is my personal thing, it means a commitment to saying, Lord, I'm not a good person, I can never be a good person, and only when God looks at me through the blood of Jesus Christ do I have a chance of ever seeing paradise, ever going to heaven.
Yeah. Wow.
So did you know country legend Charlie Daniels was a believer and follower of Jesus? Well, that was part of his story, and we'll pick up right here in his story on tomorrow, the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. This Moody special called Risen Indeed can be accessed at greatnewsradio.org once it's broadcast in its entirety. I hope your Resurrection Sunday was special as we got to worship our risen Lord, who will in fact be returning again. Each and every day His return is imminent, so live as if He might be coming back today. If you don't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, the living Lord Jesus Christ, there are some great folks that will tell you all about how to have a relationship with Almighty God, and you can call them at 1-888-NEED-HIM, 1-888-NEED-HIM. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.